Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 86.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. We're going to kick off with reading out one of our gorgeous reviews. We're trying to get to 100 reviews by the end of the year, so keep them coming. I know it's a pain to go into iTunes to do them, but if you can spare a couple of seconds, that would be ace. So this review is from Creature. Is that how you would say that?
I think so. Creature?
Or Creature?
Yeah.
Go with Creature. Creature. I feel like it's like Creature from Harry Potter, house elf. Anyway, Straight and Curly is a fabulous podcast for anyone interested in improving their life. Carly and Kelly bring their own experience to the show, but also validate their views with facts and research. Every episode is thought-provoking and entertaining. Highly recommended.
Yes.
Isn't that nice?
I love the title of Creature's review was gold stars all round. So thank you, Creature. You just get me. Thank you for the gold stars. I need those today. Guys, just a quick reminder, as Carly mentioned, we have the goal of hitting 100 reviews before the end of the year. So if you do listen to and love Straight and Curly, please do leave a review on iTunes. And if you also get the chance to subscribe, that helps us with the blessed gods of iTunes as well. So, yes.
We think it does. We don't know.
Who knows what helps with those guys? We are nowhere in the ratings at the moment. We can't figure out why. So,
but they've also updated the app, and so I'm totally confused.
Yeah, the app's terrible. I have no idea how to find anything anymore. So, if anyone has a favorite podcast app that they recommend, please come into the group and tell me about it. So, Carl, today's show.
This week we're covering the topic of dealing with heartbreak. When we first asked about this topic in the group, we were assuming it replied to romantic relationships, but we soon realized that heartbreak involves so much more than that.
Yes, because there's also the heartbreak of having to let go of a dream or working really hard to achieve a dream and falling short. So, say an athlete qualifying for the Olympics and then getting an injury that stops them going, or, the heartbreak of losing a friendship or a loved one. Yes, for me, I'm lucky to have not experienced devastating heartbreak of the romantic variety. I think the closest I've come is my year 11 boyfriend, hi Steve, breaking up with me because I did not see that coming. You are the worst.
Naughty Steve.
I think he decided I liked him much more than he liked me, and that was it. And everyone was shocked, and it was awkward because we were sitting next to each other in biology and what's going on? So anyway, yeah, that was awkward. But
he did it in class.
What's that? Oh, no, he didn't do it in class. He did it by phone, as we did back in the day. But yeah, so that's the closest I have come to like the romantic kind of heartbreak. But I have experienced the devastation of losing a brother in a car accident. And even though my very beloved Silky Terrier Wally died over 7 years ago, I still feel the effects of losing him today. Yeah, I think
that is an amazing name for a Silky Terrier, though.
Yeah, he was a Wally. He kind of named himself. we got him from the pound, and we were like, whoa, dude, you've got issues. We were the only people that could love this dog. He bit everybody. We couldn't take him to the park. Like, he couldn't go off the lead. He was just he's legendary with my friends. But yeah, we got him, and no one else would have. And yeah, and dogs, unfortunately, generally don't tend to pass away, peacefully in their sleep. You do generally have to make a decision on their behalf, and that is probably the most heartbreaking thing I've ever had to do in my life. And yeah, I still feel the effects today whenever I think about it. I've lost close friends who have been taken well ahead of their time, and I've also had 4 miscarriages, which is a very weird kind of heartbreak, and it's one I will talk about more later. So Carls, what about you?
I'm very similar. I haven't had a massive romantic heartbreak. I had a similar one to year 11 Steve. I was 19, and after a 3-month-long relationship, my boyfriend at the time broke up with me because he was gay.
Oh.
So that was great fun. So yeah, that was, and at the time that just felt like the biggest deal in the world. And I was just like so embarrassed and just, but I mean, like we met in musical theater. I don't know what I was expecting. I mean, really, we're still mates now. He's a lovely boy, but yeah, so that was like, but I look back on that now and I kind of laugh about it. It was just like this massive dramatic thing. And I mean, it wasn't even really that big a deal. It happened to most people I knew because I only hung out with musical theater people. But yeah, I haven't actually experienced a proper heartbreak. I've experienced other kinds of heartbreak, like friends hurting me, death of family members and friends. It may sound really trivial or very strange, but I get quite heartbroken when I lose jobs or clients or I fail in my career. So I had a massive career setback around this time last year, and I cried nearly every day for a week. It was a really, really difficult week, and it was a massive setback that is still kind of affecting me now. Does that sound weird? Like heartbroken over career stuff?
Not at all. And actually, so in this episode, we're going to share like kind of our best tips for managing, or we usually share our best tips, like our 10 best tips. But in this episode, we're going to just share a few thoughts and ideas on the topic of heartbreak. But then we're going to share a lot of stuff from the group because everyone in there had, you know, quite differing insights to us, a lot more to offer to the conversation than we do. But one of my first tips is don't let people tell you how to grieve, but also don't let people tell you what you're allowed to grieve about. And, you know, I guess this is front of mind of me because I've just been back to my therapist lately. And because I was one of my friends is very, very sick, and she's got something that she is going to die of. We don't know when. It could be years, it could be months. And I was kind of grieving. I was in grieving, and I said to my therapist, like, I feel stupid for grieving something that effectively hasn't happened yet. And she's like, you know, it's not stupid if you, she's kind of saying, feel the feelings. If you feel grief over this thing, allow yourself to feel the grief. Don't let other people tell you you're stupid for feeling it. So if you, Carly, feel heartbroken over losing a client, like, it's valid. It's, you know, people don't get to tell us what we're allowed to grieve over or how long we're allowed to grieve for, you know. So that's my first tip.
Thank you for validating that. It does feel so much less important than people, though. But I don't know. I guess I can't really help.
It's hard. It's natural, I think, to try and rank what, you know, rank things. You know, okay, you can grieve about that, but you only get to do it for 2 weeks because it's such a little thing compared to this other thing that happened to a person. But I think the important thing to understand about grief is it doesn't actually ever go away. So, you know, I lost my brother, 18 years ago now. And that, you know, that still hurts. And it won't ever go away, and I kind of don't want it to go away because
that's still your connection.
Yeah, that's my connection to him. So I think, your work is a large part of your identity, and so when you feel that, you know, you lose a job or you lose a client, it's quite a rejecting kind of feeling.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately it's valid. Like, if you feel grief over something, it's valid to feel grief, and don't let anybody tell you whether you get to or not. And also, and the way that I grieved my brother at the time is very different to how a lot of people around me were grieving, and they felt I wasn't doing it right. But ultimately, I could only do, you know, I kind of shut people out, to be honest. I just wanted to be with Ant, and I didn't want to talk about him, and I didn't want to do all the things that other people were doing. But that was my way of dealing with it, and it got me through. And I think it's important to do things your way, you know. So yes,
that's really good.
So yes, so your first tip.
My first tip is to give your self-destruction an end date. So I'm not a huge fan of self-medicating, but sometimes you've got to do what you've got to do. A mate of mine gave herself a month when her marriage ended to drink a lot of alcohol, eat very badly, skip the gym, stay out late at night, have sex with really inappropriate men. And then 30 days later, she had it all out of her system, got her shit back together, and made moves to rebuild her life. And I'm all for this. I think you need to have that cleansing time, that time where you're not being sensible and moving forward. And sometimes you just need to shake things up a little bit and you know, disrupt your routine and
change things so that you're not, but particularly if it's after a long relationship that's broken up, you don't want to be sitting in the house that you two lived in being sad. You need
being
to
sad, sad but responsible, you know.
Exactly. Oh, sad but responsible. Like, I mean, I obviously have a type A personality and I think being responsible is always good, but being sad and responsible, no. That's you got to get out of the house, girl. Get out of there.
And I think just to make sure the people are getting the distinction, like you're saying, give yourself destruction an end date. So you're not saying like give your grief an end date, but
no,
we all want, you know, there's all that tendency to just throw everything up in the air and, you know, tip the table over and go crazy. And we're just saying definitely do that, but maybe put a line in the sand about I'm going to go crazy, but I'm going to put an end date on it so that this doesn't become how I behave forever. So
no, if you're doing it a year later, you probably should talk to someone about that.
Yeah. So my second tip, and I kind of mentioned this already, was to allow yourself to feel the feelings. This is something I'm very, very bad at. I don't know where in my life I developed the idea, or I think it is a bit of a human thing that, and we've been taught this by the media, that bad feelings need to be, have no place in life. They must be medicated away or shopped away, or, you know, we shouldn't have to experience bad feelings. And so we develop all these mechanisms for, you know, making the bad feelings go away. And something that I'm having to learn is to feel the bad feelings and just accept that they're there and not try to push them away.
That's very sensible advice, but I kind of hate it because I hate.
Yeah, well, that's it. And so it's just like, you know, and this is something that Brooke, who's my co-host on the Let It Be podcast, is kind of, she's mentions to me all the time. And I said to her the other day, like, I get it. I totally get it. But I'm just not there. I just can't do it. So it's something I'm going to keep working on. But it's definitely something, again, that comes out of therapy is, you know, if you only ever just bat the bad feelings away and you never actually sit in them, first of all, you're not honoring them, and bad feeling, all feelings should be honored. And if you never kind of honor the feelings, like, they're always going to be sitting there waiting to jump on you at some stage. So I haven't explained that very well, and psychologists are rolling their eyes.
But it very well.
Yeah, but definitely this is something that humans in general, in modern human, is very, very bad at, because we have been taught that bad feelings should not be experienced, and we do have to get better at actually sitting with them and, yeah, feeling them basically.
So my second tip is, once your self-destruction end date is up, it's then time to focus on self-care. And the good thing about the self-care phase of dealing with heartbreak or dealing with grief is that you can have all the time in the world to do that. There is no end date to your self-care when it comes to dealing with something that has broken you and hurt your heart. And it's also important to remember that just because you may have think that you have healed, you may not have. And it's perfectly valid to have a breakup and do a lot of positive self-care and feel like you're in a really good place a year later, then the next day fall into a heap of shit and cry for 8 hours straight. That's completely fine and completely normal as well. A lot of people, there's been some talk, particularly in this discussion group and a few articles I've read online, where people feel like they're not allowed to sob uncontrollably 5 years after a bad thing.
Yeah, they're not allowed to regress in any way.
You are absolutely allowed to do that. That's completely fine.
There's nothing worse than that whole thing where people are like, oh God, I thought you were over this thing. And it's like, well, you know what? As I said, if it's true, like, cut to the core kind of grief, that never goes away. It's always there somewhere and it will catch you in very strange places. So my third tip is to get therapy. I know I write this a lot on my blog. Like, whenever people ask me for advice, you know, and things, I always say, look, this is what I would do in your situation. But my advice to everyone is go see a therapist, go see a psychologist. And the reason being is it's so nice to have someone validate how you're feeling. And say it's okay to be feeling like that, because I do think we tend to engage in a lot of self-talk, or we do let other people tell us, oh, you shouldn't be feeling like that, or you're not allowed to feel like that. And it's just so lovely to have someone say, look, you can feel however you want to feel. you are feeling that way, why are you, you know, why are you trying to push it away? Feel it, deal with it, and move on. And I think therapists are brilliant for helping us do that. That's their job. We're not equipped. Our best friends not equipped to do that. Our mums and our dads are not equipped to help us do that. Our mums and our dads and our friends try to fix things. And sometimes we don't need someone to fix things. We just need someone to listen to us and say, it's okay. And that's what a therapist is great for.
My third tip ties into that, and as well as my last tip as well. So yeah, don't be shocked when the heartbreak comes back to stab you when you thought you were over it. I mean, I have a mate of mine that died a very, very long time ago. And we were very close, and sometimes a song will pop up. Yeah. We had a few songs that were like our songs. Sometimes our song will pop up and I'll be like, ah, ow. Okay. Oh, all right. That's happening in the middle of calls. Great.
Yeah.
It's not often, particularly for me because I'm dead inside. But yeah, it's weird, and it pops up, and it pops up out of nowhere, but it's perfectly valid. And again, as you were saying before about, you know, with your brother, you don't want that to go away because you feel those feelings, and the more times you experience that weird stab that came out of nowhere that you weren't expecting, the easier it gets, and the happier you feel that that moment happened, because then you can look back and look at the positive impact that person had on your life, and it hurts less to think about them.
Yeah, I agree. I always say to people with grief, like, at some stage you'll be able to think about the person, whether it's a romantic breakup or whether you actually lost somebody that you loved. At some stage you'll get to the point where every time you think about them, it won't be just a stab in the heart anymore. It's actually more of a fondness, like you think of
it's
them.
It's warmer.
And that's a nice place to get to. But every so often the stab does come back and you're like, oh, okay, I didn't see that coming. But it's kind of nice as well, because you're like, oh, I really cared about this person and this is a reflection of that. Cool. So, yeah, so now we're going to go into our reader tips. Carly's notes.
Listener
here
tips.
Says,
that's me.
She got me. listener tips. And the first one is from Courtney, who says that when she is feeling heartbroken, she completely withdraws and focuses on self-care, and she tries to do the things that remind her what her strengths are. And I really love that. I think that's a lovely tip.
I've got one from Jane, and Jane says that she's been dealing with the loss of a pet recently. She says not quite the same, but similar. I think just reading that, people tend to apologize a lot for the grief of their pets, and I think it's really valid. And it's people kind of go, "Oh, you
member." To me, I feel a pet is a family member, and if the pet isn't a family member, then maybe you shouldn't have the pet. So,
yeah, exactly. So I'm giving people permission to not apologize for pet grief, because it's a very, very valid thing. And so I love this one. She went out and bought herself some yarn, and she's crocheting a blanket. And she's finding that's helping a lot. And in addition, she's doing restorative yoga, but not expecting too much of herself. I think slow, mindful activities are wonderful when it comes to dealing with grief. I fully support that, Jane.
No, I love that that thing of not expecting too much of herself. I think that's a really key thing as well. Because, yeah, as soon as we I think it's easy to put expectations on ourselves of like, you know, all right, I'm allowed to do this for a few weeks and then after that I should be over it. And it's like, yeah, just release yourself from expectations and just go with it and see how it happens, you know, see how you deal with it. Kerry says she literally goes back to basics, like, and it's kind of in the same vein as that. She says, I go the very, very basics and slowly builds up from there. So I do think, and that's a kind of a common thread in a lot of things that people have said, is that just dial back the expectations you have of yourself and allow yourself to go slowly. Don't rush to get over the grief. I think that's probably one of the most destructive things you can do, is be in a rush to get over it, because you're not properly processing it if you do. Okay, there you go. Now I'm telling people how to deal with their grief. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But
it's such a hard thing to talk about. Like I'm really trying very carefully to not, you know, go Star Wars on people.
to be offensive.
So I've got a tip from Renee, and she said that Zoe Foster Blake has a breakup app, and I hadn't heard of it, but she just mentioned it. And so I looked it up, and it's great. It's called Breakup Boss, and you can find it at breakupboss.com.au, and it's really awesome. So there's a feel wheel where you can go, and it gives you advice on what to do when you're feeling a certain way. So if you're feeling angry, you click the angry part of the feel wheel, and it gives you advice and tips on what to do if you're feeling angry. And there's also this spot where you can go and text your ex instead of actually texting him.
Oh my God. So you go in and you, that is awesome. She's great. So clever, Zoe Forster Blake. She's amazing.
She's a crack up. I love her. And it's a really cool app. And I highly recommend it. And it's $9 or something. And I was like, that's actually a really reasonable price for something like that. I would do that. I'd buy it. I didn't buy it though, because I'm not experiencing a breakup. And I was like, I don't really need it. But if I would send it to a gift as a gift, because you can gift apps to people. So if you have a friend that's broken up with someone, send them that app, because it's just adorable and really funny.
I love the text your ex thing. That is such a cool idea.
It's awesome.
Okay, so Emma says, 14 years ago, I miscarried a baby at 13 weeks. My heart broke, but at the time it wasn't really spoken about, and it always became awkward if I brought it up. So I buried my feelings, allowed people to say things I didn't agree with because I recognized how awkward it was for them too, and pushed on with life. This was not the best way for me to handle it, as it caused emotional problems for me much later down the track. So Emma's advice was to allow yourself to feel the emotions no matter how hard, talk about them with a professional if those around you can't offer the support you need. And I do think that's a really important distinction, is that if the people around you can't talk to you about the thing, then you do probably need to seek out someone who is qualified to do so, because, yeah, it's too much to expect people around us, especially with miscarriage. So I've had, as I mentioned, I had four, and, yeah, as I mentioned at the top of this episode, it's a very weird kind of grief, especially if you're losing it early term. So Emma lost hers at 13 weeks. Mine were all quite early, like between the 7 and kind of 10-week mark. It's in that funny phase where no one knows, and sometimes they know, and it's, you know, it's a ball of cells. So people are like, well, you know, it wasn't really a baby, was it? And they do say things that are like quite inappropriate, because they're trying to be helpful, but they're actually being quite hurtful.
That's actually me. That's the story of my life. I try to be helpful with things, then I'm like, wow, I just said the worst possible thing. I am so sorry.
It's really hard. And it's why I've always been quite open with talking about my miscarriages, because it for a really long time, it was something that people, they did not talk about, and it was almost like a shameful thing. And
I really appreciate that, Kelly, and I think it's very important. I mean, I've never experienced a miscarriage. I've never been pregnant. But I really appreciate that, and I think it's a strangely private thing that it's very brave and giving of women to speak openly about it, because it's important for other women to know that it's a thing that happens and it's not shameful at all, but that doesn't make it any easier for you to share your own stories. So I just wanted to take a moment to thank you for that, because I think it's very important.
Oh, I appreciate that. But yeah, and I guess that's the reason I do talk about it, is because and I've had a lot of people approach me. So I've had friends approach me going like, you're the only person I can talk about this because you're the only person I know who's had one. And yet 20% of all pregnancies end up in miscarriage, whether the person realizes or not. So it's so, so common. And especially as we're getting a bit older now, we're trying to have kids in our late 30s. And the reality is it happens more as you get older. So yeah, I really appreciate Emma's advice, you know, to take time to heal, try not to make any life changing decisions when you're in that, you know, that funny place of grief. Continue to eat healthy and exercise, but just don't beat yourself up if there are days that you can't. So thank you so much for that, Emma. Really appreciate you sharing your story.
The next one's very short. It's from Natalie, and she just said simply distraction and professional help, which I just think is, I think that's the solution to most problems, is distract yourself immediately, and then when you're ready to deal with it, seek professional help. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Yeah, it's a funny, like the whole feeling you're feeling things, like what I found is it makes you feel so, so much worse, and you're sitting in it going, I feel really terrible. How is this helping me? And the only thing that helps me is if I distract myself. But then if you only ever distract yourself, you're never really dealing with it. So I like what Natalie said there about distract yourself, but go and get professional help to help you process it. I think that's a good mixture. Ellen says, I think it's really important to have some time alone between romantic relationships. She says, I've watched people I know bounce from one relationship to another very quickly, and they don't take the time to process or learn from the previous one. And then she says, that said, a rebound can be a very effective way to distract yourself and get over someone. And after spending months and years single between relationships, the only time she tried the whole rebound strategy, she ended up marrying the rebound guy. So, but having said that, I think she's obviously spent a lot of time, alone with herself and being comfortable in her own skin, and then able to take up with the rebound guy when that happened. But
and also able to recognize that rebound guy was
a
quality guy. Yep. Otherwise, she could have ended up marrying a non-quality rebound guy, and they are generally pretty terrible. Cool. The next one, I was reading this and it just like it made me feel a thing, guys. So
which is Carly is like an unemotional person. So if she does feel a thing, it cuts to the core.
Yeah, this one broke me quite a lot, but I think her advice is really, really, really beautiful. So Candolin was widowed with a 28 year she was widowed at 28 with a 2-year-old. One thing that surprised her was how very physical grief is. She says it was exhausting and depleting and even disabling sometimes. She lost 20 pounds in 3 months and ended up with an anxiety diagnosis. She was completely blown away by how much it took out of her and still does sometimes 3 years later. She was a person who had a type A personality with 1,000 to-do lists in her head, and suddenly she had this mental fog that kept her from remembering, 3 things that she'd written on a post-it this morning, and she wanted to be strict on herself and toughen up and push through and find her stamina. And it took a good look at what she was doing instinctively, to help her little one cope. So there was lots of extra snuggles and extra sleep and comfort food, and she was far more forgiving of her child having fits and separation anxiety because, she'd lost her father. And so she'd clear her schedule to have quiet days with her little one. And she said it was healing for her too. So what she needed, she was saying that what they needed when they were grieving was to be kind to themselves and, treat themselves like toddlers. So take a nap, find a hug, go to bed early, do your favorite things, cry a lot, go for a walk instead of a run, get distracted by something fun because sometimes, we're still alive and we're still human, rinse and repeat. She says to let go of what you think you should be doing and just take good care of yourself. Let yourself be taken care of if you should be so fortunate. Healing takes time and energy.
That's beautiful. And thank you also to Candolin for sharing that as well. We're gutted for you. But that's just fabulous advice. I love the thing about treating yourself like a toddler and allowing yourself to be taken care of if there's someone who wants to take care of you. When I was pregnant with Mia, and so this was kind of our last shot. I'd had the 4 miscarriages and this was our last shot at having a second baby. And I was due to go to New Zealand with Aunt and Jaden and Aunt's dad, 2 days after. And I had a scan booked, just a very preliminary, a 9-week scan. And they found like a massive internal bleed, and it was kind of a 50-50 chance whether Mia would hang on or not hang on. And so I wasn't allowed to go to New Zealand, and Aunt was going to stay and not go. And in the end I went, what's the difference? You guys go, you're going for a family reunion. I'll stay here. I'll go stay with Mum and Dad. Either I'm going to lose the baby or I'm not, but there's no point you staying here waiting for me to lose the baby, if that makes any sense. So anyway, I went and stayed with my Mum and Dad. And sometimes I think that's the reason that Mia hung on, is because I went to Mum and Dad and I stayed there for 9 days and I just let them take care of me.
That's so nice.
And it was just, it was the loveliest. I was quite resistant to it because I'm quite an independent person and I don't need no one to take care of me. And normally I don't really like it. I really resist it. But in that moment in time, it was a lovely feeling to do it. And so I really endorse Candolin's advice in that regard, especially for highly capable people. We tend to not want people fussing over us. We're the people that make things better for other people. But when you give into it and let someone look after you, you just feel so loved, and it's a lovely feeling. So, yes.
So the challenge for this week is to check in with your heartbreak and see if it needs a little bit of TLC. So that might be booking in to see a therapist this week, or hanging out with a very positive friend, or restarting your yoga classes that make you feel so good. It doesn't matter if your heartbreak was recent or years ago. Just check in with it this week and see how you're feeling with it. And this has been a very heavy episode. So yeah, if you're feeling a little bit not very amazing after this, go and do something very, very kind for yourself, please.
That's right.
Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.